You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go again in beautiful Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God over in Merritt Island, 165 North Grove Street. We are in a part of Merritt Island that used to be known as Merritt Park Place. It used to be a residential subdivision, and now it's kind of a mixed-use area there. There's not too far from Mila. We've got chiropractors in the area and engineers and orthodontists and people living in the area and some caterers and things like that, orthodontists. And so if you do not have a church home, we're really not that far away. Now, if you're in Palm Bay, we're that far away. You know, it's depending on where you are in Palm Bay, it could take you an hour to get where we are. But if you are down in the Wickham Park area or anything like that, it's really only about 20 or 30 minutes to get to where we are. And in modern times, that's just around the corner. So if you do not have a church home, I'd like to take just a moment and invite you to come to Merritt Assembly of God. And, you know, we will work together to be blessed so we can be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And that's why we exist. I would be blessed and privileged and honored to be able to serve alongside you in your journey. And so we're here on the radio. We're teaching the Word of God, and Sunday mornings, my preaching, it's more animated than it is here on the radio. I've still got the same corny sense of humor though. And but we just love Jesus, and we got a lot that we would like to get accomplished in 2023. And if you do not have a church home, you need a church home. Don't assume that you're going to be able to make it all by yourself. God's never called you to be a lone ranger. He's called you to be part of his body. And so we would love to have you come. If you do not have a church home, if you've got a church home where the Word of God is being preached and the presence of Jesus is being pressed after, we encourage you to buckle up and get on board there and be a blessing to your pastor. We're not here to be just another stop on the assembly line of shifting saints. But you know, if you are new to the area, we would love to have you come and be a part. My wife and I, we're relatively new there. We've only been there at the church for 30 years. And so again, that's the type of sense of humor I have. So 30 pressing on 60. Come to 165 North Grove Street. We would love to have you worship the King with us. If you've got a concrete job that you need to have done, I want to encourage you to reach out to the folks at JITS Concrete, J-I-T-S. Their phone number is 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. That will get you in touch with Greg. He and his family have been key players in putting concrete down for decades here in Brevard County. One of the last projects that we had done, it wasn't the last one, but I think it was the one before that, we were dealing with a contractor, and I said, now, these are the folks that I want to do the concrete. And he said, well, your concrete guy is my concrete guy. They have decades of experience, and it's good experience to the point where they also are what I would consider experts at it. They have expertise and they have a great work ethic. They will get your job done for you at a great value, in a timely manner. And I encourage you to reach out to them and let them put their skills to use so that you can have the proper foundation to launch your project on. 321-536-5804. Matthew's the next one. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord." So yesterday we transitioned here to talking about the responsibility that we have to make the will of God a reality in our lives, that God says, I will dwell in them, I will live in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so where we ended yesterday was where it said, come out from among them and be separate. We talked about sanctification. And then do not touch what is unclean. And that word unclean means those things that are impure morally that separate us from God. Okay? We can't exist from that. I remember hearing a story when I was in Bible college of a minister who was pretty well known, and he was walking down the street and God spoke to him and said, "You can't do anything without me." And he said, "Yes, I know I can't do anything without you." And God said, "No, you can't do anything without me." He said, I understand. And about that time he fell, not in sin. He stumbled and fell on the ground. And he said, you can't even walk down this sidewalk without me. And I remember hearing that and the longing for dependence upon God was there. Now I will tell you this, apart from him, we can do nothing. But because of him, all things are possible, because he lives inside of us. So we don't want anything. We can't afford anything to separate us from God. The definition of death is that death is a condition where we are separated from life. In a spiritual death context, it is where we are separated from God. And so we don't want to have that happen for an instant. We can't afford to have those things happen. I remember hearing Robert Morris give his testimony. Robert Morris, pastors Gateway Church in the Dallas area, and they got all sorts of campuses around Texas and things like that. And he was away at his family's ranch, and he was studying and praying, and he had a massive blood vessel just tear apart, just become separated from what it wasn't supposed to separate from. And they ended up flying in a helicopter and all of that sort of stuff. They got him to the hospital. And they did surgery, and they reattached that blood vessel, and he continued to hemorrhage. And they went back in and did another surgery and found that there was a second blood vessel that had hemorrhaged that they were unaware of because of the first one. And he did survive, and the doctor came in at some point in time, and he said, there is no known reason why two blood vessels should separate at the same time. We've never seen that happen before. There's no known reason why that should have happened to you. He said, okay. And they said, and the second thing we want to tell you is this. There's no reason that you should still be alive. The two things that had happened should have separated you from this world. You should be dead, but you're not. That, I mean, we have taken the concept of being separated from God and we've trivialized it, and we shouldn't do that. We should cling to God. We should be dependent upon God, and we should treat our relationship with God as our highest priority in life. So he says, I don't want you in the present tense or in the future tense touching what would separate you from me. He said, if you will avoid doing that, it says here in verse number 17, I will receive you. I will receive you. That word receive could be translated, I will welcome you. I remember when we were traveling back and forth to my parents, and my mother, she used to cry every time we had to go back to where we lived, whether it was, you know, before I was married or after I was married. She just never liked to see me go. But when they knew that I was coming for a visit, I want you to know that the prodigal son did not receive as a lavish reception as what I would, because my mother, even though she had lost a leg, she spent, you know, the last couple of decades of her life in a scooter. That was how she was able to get around, and she would already be outside the house. She would be looking before we had a cell phone. They would be expecting us at a certain point in time, and she wanted to welcome me, not to, by waiting until I made it into the house. She came outside, and she was welcoming in the driveway. She would be welcoming out by the street at times. She just wanted to wrap her arms around me and to tell me that she loved me and how glad she was that we were there. Folks, can you imagine what kind of reception, what sort of welcoming celebration is going to take place when we get to heaven? It is going to be glorious. So in about a 20-month period of time, it might have been a little bit, let's see, November to November would be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. In about 16 months, we had two daughters that got married. And each of them had different desires. One of them got married at River of Life Assembly of God outside. They had a big, beautiful tree, and they wanted to get married there, and so they had their ceremony there, and they had the reception at our church. And then the other daughter, she had the wedding at our church and the reception at Rockledge Gardens. And there, it was a welcoming ceremony. The wedding reception was a welcome to the new family. But it was also, as a new family, we want to welcome all of these important people, not all of the important, because the budget didn't allow for all, but as many as we could get in there, y'all are welcome. We want to start off our journey with you. Can you imagine what type of welcome is going to take place when we enter into the presence of God, not just in a spiritual sense, but in an eternal sense, it's going to be fantastic. He said, I will receive you. He's going to receive us into his family. We are adopted into the household of faith. And verse number 18 says, if you will do that, here's the first four parts of the will of God. I will live among them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Come out from among them. Be separate. That's our responsibility. Do not touch what is unclean. That's our responsibility. And God goes right back into what he wants to do. And he says, I will receive you. The next part says, I will be a father to you. Fatherlessness is a huge issue in America right now. And I'm not talking about a revolving door of males coming in and out of people's lives. I'm talking about people who will actually be a father. I'm not talking about a baby daddy. I'm not talking about just a donor that got your life started. I'm talking about a relationship where men will be fathers. Men will be present. Men will be there to impart the ways of God. That's what a father is supposed to be. I've got four grandkids. My son has three, and to watch him as he has taken on the responsibility that his children are watching his every action. I got a grandson that if dad's wearing it, that's what I want to wear. If dad's doing it, that's what I want to do. There's that type of observation that is going on. If dad's rooting for the Dallas Cowboys, then my grandson is rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. There is a relationship that they have that whatever is going on, I want to be just like my father. And that same care goes to the younger children as well, where there is that relationship with their dad is a treasured relationship, and they have that same type of relationship with the mother as well, our daughter in love. So I don't want to discount mothers here, but we're just talking about the father here. I will be a father to you. So being a father means that there is a deposit that has been made into your life that is going to be a major contributor to the way that you live your life. If you have had a poor example of a father, then you need that relationship redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So I remember a gentleman that gave his heart to the Lord, and it was a very interesting conversion experience. And he had had a bad relationship with his mother, and his mother had passed away. And so he didn't ask me about this. I didn't tell him to do this. The Holy Spirit just led him to do this. After he was born again, he made a journey to his mother's grave so that they could, you know, reconcile together. It was just kind of a point of contact. And, you know, I forgive you for the things that you did that to me that weren't right. And I repent of the things I did to you that weren't right, so that they could put all of that garbage behind them. God says, I will be a father to you. A father trained a son in the family business in biblical times. And I will tell you that out of all of the things that a father can do, I mean, a father disciplines those he loves. That's not a lot of fun. But it's because of the love that is there. But one of the greatest things that a child longs for is their father's blessing. Their father's blessing. They want to hear, I love you. They want to see that the father loves them. They don't like correction, but when correction is done the right way, it is a blessing. And children go to great extents to try and earn that blessing. And one of the things that is missing in this world right now is that there are so many children that are living without the blessing of their earthly father, because the father never knew to give it or refused to give it. There can be both. There can be both. One of the things that I've observed through the years is that just as there's no perfect people, there are no perfect fathers. And you have to ask yourself, what type of example did a man have about being a father? And if they didn't have an example, have they done better as a father than what they could have achieved? And if that's the case, then you need to throw up your hands and praise the Lord that they did better. There are multitudes of horrific, terrible things that have been done by fathers to their children. And if you have experienced some of that trauma and some of that tragedy, some of that heartache, I want you to know that you've got a heavenly father who wants to welcome you into his family, who doesn't suffer with all of the shortcomings that earthly fathers may come with. God says, if you will listen to me, if you will let me live in you, if you will let me walk in your midst, if you will let me be your God, if you will be my people, if you will come out and be the separate person, separated unto holiness the way I want you to, if you will not participate, not touch in that which would put distance between, he said, I will receive you and I will be a father to you. The Heavenly Father can give you everything that your earthly father could not. And he says this, and you shall be my sons and daughters. Now, when we were growing up, our families took a lot of vacations, and we had a neighbor right down the street, and he didn't get to do a lot of stuff like that. And so there were times when he went on vacation with us. And there was only one rule, that if you come on vacation with us, that we are going to treat you like our son or daughter. And that means if you do something wrong, you're going to get corrected. You're going to get disciplined. And because of that relationship is not that much different than my brother or sister relationship. We do not share the same DNA. We do not share the same ethnicity. We we don't share the same experiences. We don't share the a lot of things together. But one thing that we do share, besides having some experiences along the way, is we also share a Heavenly Father. Today, I want to just spend the last few minutes of the program letting you know this is a declaration of the Lord Almighty. You might say, I've done so much unclean stuff that there's no way that God could forgive me. You may have so much in your past that you do not see how it could possibly ever be wiped away, and you don't see how God could take anything that is so damaged and make anything holy out of it. I want you to understand, God's will is for you to be His son or His daughter, and this is what it says. Says the Lord Almighty. The Almighty, the Omnipotent One. Things that are impossible for you are not impossible for God. Today, I want you to know God wants, it's His will for you to come out of the darkness and the mess and the sin and the rebellion that you may have been in for your whole life. He says, if you will come out, I can set you apart for a holy purpose. I can make you my son, my daughter. I can live among you. I can walk among you. I can treat you the way a father should treat you. And I want you to know this is not theory. This is a declaration of the Lord Almighty. God can make it happen. God wants to make it happen. Won't you say yes today to being a child of God? You see, my thing is if the devil deems it valuable enough to try and steal it or deprive a person of it, I think it's valuable enough to do my best to keep. And so today, if you realize what a precious privilege it is to be a child of the living God, would you just pray this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you for sending your son to forgive me of my sins. I repent of those sins. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, set me apart for your holy purpose by your holy power. God, with me, this is impossible, but with you, it is very much a reality. Would you be my Heavenly Father, and I will be your child. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
It's crowded in worship today as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know. Farther than they know. But if we are the body, why are